Okay, full disclosure. I'm not prepared for Yontif, so I don't expect to get you guys prepared either. It's hard to prepare for any Yontif, especially Rosh Hashanah. So I think what we'll try to do is like this. What we'll try to speak about is really, I guess, sort of one aspect of sort of like a mindset to have going into Rosh Hashanah and to have throughout Rosh Hashanah. The specific details in terms of like, you know, what to think about in Malchias and Zechariah and Shofar, what to think about by Tekiah Shofar, it's a little bit too much to go through those details, you know, in one setting. Truth is, Bezer Hashem, tomorrow I plan by the Nesheish here, tomorrow morning, we all talk about more at Pratim, like Mamish Pratim, what to think about and what to daven for and things like that. But I think tonight, just sort of a certain mindset to have throughout. So it was like this. We'll focus in on one particular aspect of the halachas of Rosh Hashanah, and we'll use that as the, you know, we'll find the klal in that prat. All right. So there's a fundamental question in halacha that it goes way back. The Gaonim dealt with, which was as follows: the question that was posed, that was asked to the Gaonim. We're talking about, you know, the Gaonim period, like after the Gemara. So the question was: is a person allowed to? Are you allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? You're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. You're allowed to fast during the week. You're not allowed to fast on Shabbos and Yontif. There's a mitzvah Simcha and Yontif. There's a mitzvah Oineg on Shabbos. You're not allowed to fast on Shabbos and Yontif. Can you fast on Rosh Hashanah? So that was the question. So in the Gaonim, there was a big machlokes. There's a big machlokes whether you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, whether you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. And I'll tell you how it sort of breaks down. The opinion that held, the champion of the opinion that held that one is allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah, not only is allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah, maybe it's even recommended to fast in Rosh Hashanah. That was one of the goyim named Rav Naturoi Goyim. Rav Naturoi Goyim, one of the goyim. He held that a person is allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah, maybe it's even preferable to fast in Rosh Hashanah. That's the avodah. And the way, the where he was coming from was, is that again, you're not allowed to fast in Yontif. Why? Because of the mitzvah Simcha. You're not allowed to fast on Shabbos because mitzvah Oinig. There's no mitzvah Simcha, there's no mitzvah Oinig on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not called a Chag. Rosh Hashanah is not called a Chag. There's Shalosh Regalim. There's three holidays. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. It's B'Oil Regal. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Not so by Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah doesn't have those Gedarim. Memela, you're certainly allowed to fast. And once you're allowed to fast, Fakert. That'll help the avoid of the day. So that was the Shidrav Naturoi Goyin. Number of Rishonim also held like that. It's a minority opinion, but that's the Shita of Rav Naturoi Goyim. Mitzad Sheni. On the other hand, another one of the Goyim held the opposite way, and that was Rav Nachshon Goyim. Rav Nachshon Goyim. Again, he is not the only one, but he's the, you know, there's others also, Rav Sar Shalom Goyim. There's other Goyim as well, but the Rishonim usually quote Rav Nachshon Goyim as the opinion of the other side, which is no. Not only is it not recommended to fast, one is not allowed to fast. Now, where is he coming from? So it's interesting. Again, you don't have it in front of you, but I'll share with you. The Mordechai, one of the Rishonim, a lay Rishon, the Mordechai in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, quotes this tshuva from Rav Nachshon Goyim, and I'll show you the logic of where he takes it. Nishal Rabbeinu Nachshon Goyim. The question was asked to Rabbeinu Nachshon Goyim, Mahu L'Sanetz Rosh Hashanah? Is a person allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah? The Heshiv. So the Rav Nachshon Goyim answered, not like Rav Naturoi, he said, no, asur lesanes. You're not allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah. Bein midivrei Torah. I'll prove it to you from Chumash, from Tanakh. Bein midivrei Kabbalah. I can prove it to you from Chumash. I can prove it to you from Navi. Bein mibraisa. Bein mitalmuda. I can prove it to you from a braisa, and I can prove it to you from Gemara. All places that you want to have sources from, I'll prove it to you. How? So Rav Nachshon Goyim said like this. Midivrei Torah minayin. What's my source in Chumash? He says like this: if you take a look in Chumash, where it talks about the Yom Tovim, Shu Kolim Shar Mayades, when the Torah talks about Elam Adi Hashem Asher Tikrois and Maikar Kodesh, the Parshas Pinchas, other places where it talks about Yom Tov, so it talks about Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Whenever Tanakh, whenever Chumash talks about Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is always in the list. Uksiv Bei Mikra Kodesh, and it says Mikra Kodesh. V'darshinam v'sefra v'sefri. And what does it mean when a yontif is called mikra kodesh? It means katshev b'maychol mishnah. Means you have to eat, you have to drink, you have to be happy. It's mitzvah simcha. So if that's true for Yom Tovim, we know, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is always counted amongst the Yom Tovim in Chumash, so that means Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also is mitzvah simcha. That's what he says. Rosh Hashanah Ikri Chag. He says in Chumash we find that Rosh Hashanah is also called a chag. How so? It says in pasuk, "Bekesel yom chageinu." Take a look at the shofar. Bekesel yom chageinu. You should blow a shofar on this concealed yontif, this concealed chag. What's this chag? What's it talking about? It's Rosh Hashanah. So it says Rav Nachshon Gaon, you see, it's called a chag. That's in Chumash. And when it comes to chag, ksiv v'samachta v'chagecha. So Rosh Hashanah has that mitzvah. Fine. Midivrei Kabbalah minayin. How do I know that you're not allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah from Navi? So he points you to a ma'aseh in Sefer Ezra. It's a famous ma'aseh. The pasuk says that when they rebuilt the second base of the Mikdash, so it was Rosh Hashanah, and Yidden came to Ezra asking him how they should deal, how they should react. What should Rosh Hashanah be like? They were used to Rosh Hashanah in Golis, which evidently was more tzibrochim. But now they have Beis HaMikdash. What should their reaction to Rosh Hashanah be? So Ezra Sofer responded to them, L'chu echlu mishmanim, shesei mamtakim. You should eat good food, drink delicious drinks. Shulchu manis le'inochen lai. If anyone didn't prepare food because they thought that they should be fasting, you should send them food. Because today's a holy day. It's Rosh Hashanah. Ched v'sashem imuzchem, celebrating and being happy with the Rabbanu Shalom, that's your strength. So says Rav Nachshon Gaon, so you see that Ezra Sofer told them that how do you fear Rosh Hashanah? With achil and shesia and simcha, that's how you do it. So in Chumash, it's called the yontif. In Navi, you see that's how you deal with it. And he says, there's a brisa also. What is the brisa? So he quotes a brisa, it's from Yerushalmi. The brisa says that there are certain types of issues that are going on, dangerous to cities and so on, that they have to fast. Or sometimes they don't fast, they just like blow shofar. So the Rishami says such a scenario where there's a certain danger to a city, not so dangerous where it would warrant fasting, but dangerous enough that they should blow shofar, the Rishami says, Kamay Rosh Hashanah. It's like a Rosh Hashanah dika danger level, right? In which, where you don't fast, but you blow shofar. See, says you don't fast. And finally, he quotes another Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi famous. The Torah brings this down, that the Jewish people are unique. Every other person, every other nation, if they're going through a din, then what? They're going to be dreading it and fasting, and they're going to... But the Jewish people are not like that. What do? We take haircuts, we shower, we get ourselves ready, we're besimcha, we eat, we drink. And that's what we do with Rosh Hashanah. So that's Rav Nachshon Gaon. He quotes all these marmakaimis, adraba, Rosh Hashanah is a yontif, it needs v'samachta v'chakecha, just like every yontif, it applies to Rosh Hashanah as well. That's Rav Nachshon Gaon. Fine. So you have Natroi Gaon on one hand, it's adraba, you could fast, and maybe you should fast. Rav Nachshon Gaon, adraba, you're not allowed to fast, v'samachta v'chakecha. Whenever you have two opposite shittas, you'll usually be able to find the middle, and the middle was Rav Hai Gaon. Rav Hai Gaon is quoted in Shuvas HaRashba, it's quoted in the Tur, quoted in the Rosh. Rav Hai Gaon, the greatest of the Gaonim at the end, Rav Hai Gaon says, he was asked the question also, what about fasting Rosh Hashanah? His response was that in his terms, his lashon was, it's not yofa to fast. It's not recommended to fast. You know, to say such a response means you're saying technically it's okay. In other words, on the one hand, Rav Hai Gaon is agreeing to Rav Naturoi Gaon that there's no official mitzvah of v'samachta v'chagecha. If there was v'samachta v'chagecha, then it's not just not recommended to fast, you're not allowed to fast. The fact that he says that it's not recommended, that means that what? That technically you're allowed to, means there's no v'samachta v'chagecha. But in terms of what's recommended, I don't recommend to do that, to go all the way to the extreme of fasting. You should eat, you should drink, but again, v'samachta v'chagecha is not. That's Rav Hai Gaon. And the truth is, it has to do with the Nusach. L'mashal Rav Nachshon Gaon, that held v'samachta v'chagecha mamish by Yontif, by Rosh Hashanah. So he writes also that in the Nusach of Davening, you should say, like a Nusach that we have by every Yontif, L'sasin L'simcha, what's the Lashon? As Yoyim Chag, whatever has a... Mikra Kodesh, you know, the, like a Nusach to say that L'sasin L'simcha, I can't remember it exactly. The nusach that we have by Yontif Davening. He said you should also say the Baruch Hashanah. Rav Haigoyen, who says that it's not recommended to fast, indicating that you're allowed to, it's just not recommended, he writes in as far as the Nusach, you shouldn't say, B'titin lanu, you know, Chag Rosh Hashanah has l'sasun l'simcha. That's not, again, he still recommends he shouldn't fast. But those are the three shittas that we have. Okay, simple, fine. What's strange is the opinion that we find by the Hagois Maimoni. Okay, the Hagois Maimoni was, again, also a later Rishon, and he discusses these opinions, and the Hagois Maimoni writes the following thing. He brings down, the opinion of Rav Nachshon Goyen, Rav Hai Goyen, that one is either not allowed to fast, not recommended to fast, but then he ends off with the following sentence, Amnam. However, with all that being said, Kabbal Mekad Menenu, the Hagois Maimoni was one of the late Rishonim in Ashkenaz. So he writes, Kabbal Mekad Menenu, we have a tradition from our ancestors, Damis Aneb Rosh Hashanah Tainis Chaloyim Pamachas. We know there's such an idea as a Tainis Chaloyim. What's a Tainis Chaloyim? So if a person has a very, very terrible dream and it's really disturbing to them, it's such an inyan of fasting to wipe whatever that dream meant, it wipes it clean. We don't usually do it nowadays. But there's such an idea of Tainis Chaloyim. The halacha is, if a person has a terrible dream like that and they want to fast, they could do that even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because it's like, it's so serious. So the Hagois Maimonides brings down that his tradition was, Chachmei Ashkenaz had a tradition, that if a person on Rosh Hashanah ever had such a dream, which forced them to have a Tainis Chaloyim on Rosh Hashanah, which even in the opinions that hold you not allowed to fast, would still agree that Tainis Chaloyim you can do that on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If a person were to have that scenario, so the Kabbalah in Ashkenaz was that if that happens once in your life, kol yomav yesh l'lasana shnei yom. It means the rest of your life you should fast on Rosh Hashanah. Both days. That's what that's the Kabbalah. So it's like 1 second. So the Hagois Maimoni the whole time is agreeing with Rav Haigoyen, Rav Nachshon Goyen. You're not supposed to fast. You're not allowed to fast. Tainis Chaloyim, okay, it happens. Tainis Chaloyim is even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But says the Hagois Maimoni, but if that does ever happen to you, then that's it. The rest of your life you're fasting. You're going with Rav Naturoi going. So, what does that mean? If we don't hold like that, what does it mean? So there's a tshuva, also from Ashkenaz, a little bit later, the Tshuva Sadeshan. The Tshuva Sadeshan was one of the great Paiskim in Ashkenaz. Much of Ashkenazi Minhagim and Ashkenazi Halachas come from the Tshuva Sadeshan. So he brings down this Kabbalah, this tradition from Ashkenaz. And listen to how he says it. He says like this. Again, Shiasanu Pamachas, he says, Gamra Harabin Yadim. He says, I saw this by many people. He says, I don't know. I guess there was they're having bad dreams over there. But many, he said, by many people, Shayim Asanim Beiz Yonim Rosh Hashanah, they would fast both days Rosh Hashanah. Adei Shiasanu Pamachas Biyam Rishon Bavad, because at some point in their life, they had a bad dream on Rosh Hashanah the first night, and they fasted the first day. So that's it, the rest of their lives. Vishlach Haloim. Kasha Hayro Lem HaGadoylam, because that was the Hayro, that was the psak that Nashkenaz they had. Lesanes, to do that. So he goes on to say, why is this? He says like this. Afil Lahani Desavri Demitzel Lechel. So it says a translation, because even according to those opinions that hold that you're supposed to eat on Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to have simcha. Like Rav Nachshon Goyen, v'samachti b'chagecha, but kahai gav namoidi, in a case of this, where you had a bad dream, they would agree, d'leskan dro debitul oinik Shabbos v'yontif, that there's no issue of fasting if a person has such a bad dream, d'minashamayim haru, because the reason why the person had that dream is because minashamayim, they're telling the person, d'tanisoi chaviva b'shamayim v'Rosh Hashanah, that his avoida is to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So even though halachically we pass like Rav Nachshon and Rav Haigoyen, that you're not supposed to fast on Rosh Hashanah v'samachta b'chagecha, of al kaponim, if min hashamayim a person has a bad dream, which then forces them to have a tanis chaloyim, memela that means min hashamayim, they're telling them that for you, you go like Marv Naturoi. And memela for you, the rest of your life you fast. That was the Kabbalah in Ashkenaz. So it's Tamam Shapella, what type of business is this? The halacha is halacha. Tarloi b'shamayim, right? So all of a sudden, if halacha goes like Rav Nachshon Goyen, Rav Haigoyen, v'chulu, then what's his inyan? Then in a shamayim, they'll tell you, no, for you, you should fast, that's your avoda. What do you mean? That the halacha is not like that? So what's going on over here? All right, so you know, Hashem, it's not going to be such a long share. I want to be able to get to the point in practicalities like this. The fact that there's a machlok is about whether you should fast in Rosh Hashanah or not, and whether there's v'samachta bechagecha in Rosh Hashanah or not, obviously tells you this. There's some lack of clarity in terms of what the mood of Rosh Hashanah is. You know, people think that Purim is like a yontif that's confused. Purim is pretty straightforward. Rosh Hashanah, that's confused. The Rosh Hashanah is mamish very, very... There's this polar opposite reaction to Rosh Hashanah, as you find in this case. Allowed to fast? Should fast or not allowed to fast? So what's the issue? So let's understand. What's the inyan of Simchas Yontif Bechlal? So it says, V'samachta Bechagecha, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. What does it mean, V'samachta Bechagecha? What's the nature of that mitzvah? What's it coming from? What does it mean, Simcha Bayidin? So the way you're Mekayim it is, like the Gemara says, men with Basar V'yayin, women with other things, children with other things, but that's all how you're expressing the Simcha. But what is the Simcha? What is the Simcha? L'mashal, there's a tshuva from Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a tshuva. Someone asked him, what happens if a person on Yontif, there's a mitzvah to have Simchas Yontif, which means with wine. So let's say a person only has treif wine. So is the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif doicha the aver of drinking treif wine? A person only has treif meat. So Simchas Yontif is an assay. Maybe that assay is doicha the lois assay of nevelos and treifas. So what was his answer? His answer was, avada not. Why not? The answer is because the mitzvah is not to drink wine and to eat meat. The mitzvah is to be besimcha. You need something to express that simcha. So if you have wine and you have meat, that's a good way to express it. If you don't have wine, you don't have meat, okay, then you're not. Then don't express it that way, obviously. Express it in different ways. The mitzvah is not to eat. You know, it's not like matzah. You know, it's a mitzvah shebelev. So if you have wine and you have meat that's kosher and that's an option, then they're good. If you don't have that, then it's not. It's not. You're not forced into a corner that you have to have meat and wine. It's not like that. It's a mitzvah shebelev. So what is the mitzvah of simcha? So it's a klal, it's a pashut. In the Sifri Maral and Sifri Chassidus, The makar of simcha that a yid experiences is gilui elikus. When the Rabbanu Shalom when there's some level of revelation of the Rabbanu Shalom's presence in life, that's simcha. That's the result of simcha. That's what simcha means. Whenever in Tanakh it talks about simcha, it's always lifnei Hashem. It's always lifnei Hashem. The samachta, like it says by Silk, is ready. Lefnei Hashem, Shivas Yom, before Hashem. It's always with that. Whenever you have a matziv of where there's Gilui Elikus, a revelation of God's presence, over there you'll find Simcha. Over there you'll find Simcha, and over there you have to be B'Simcha. So, L'mashal Chasin and Kala. Chasin and Kala is a mitzvah Simcha. Why? The answer is because Chasin and Kala is a experience and a space in which there is the Shechina. The Shechina Shuri over there. The Chazal say. If there's a Shechina, it means the Rabbanu Shalom is there. It means that's where Simcha is. L'mashal, the Gemara says in Moed Kadin that there's a mitzvah on a Kohen Gadol. You don't know this. There's a mitzvah on a Kohen Gadol that there's a mitzvah, just like every Yid has a mitzvah of Samachta V'Chagecha, the Gemara says in Moed Kadin that a Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah of Simcha every single day. Whatever Yid is on a Yontif, the Kohen Gadol is every single day. Why? So says the Rosh, Taisus Rosh, and Maseches Moed Kadin writes this. The reason is because for every yontif, a yid experiences some level of shechina, and memela, that's where simcha comes from. A kohen gadol experiences it every single day. Whatever there's simcha, wherever there's simcha, there's the shechina. Wherever there's shechina, there's simcha. The Gemara says that ein hashechina shruya. The Gemara says in Brachas that the shechina only comes, the nevuah is only shaira, only on a number of conditions. One of them is to be b'simcha. Simcha equals gilui shechina. Gilui shechina equals simcha. This is why every Yontif is a mitzvah of Simcha. Why? Because what happened on Pesach? Pesach, again, the experience of Pesach was the Makis, Yitzis Mitzrayim. But the Pnimius of Pesach and what reoccurs every single year is not the Makis. What reoccurs every single year is the Gilui Elikus. The Elikus that then took shape in terms of Makis, just like Rabbi Yosef Engel. The Simcha is there. Where does it? How does it express itself? So if you have Basar V'Yayin, it expresses itself through that. So at that time, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, whatever it was, the Gilui Elikus of Pesach expressed itself in ten Makis. So that expression we don't have anymore, but the Ikar Inyan of Gilui Elikus that we still have every single year. And that's what generates the Simcha, that's what generates the Yontif. Pesach is like that, Shavuos, Sukkos, every Yontif is Gilui Elikus. If there's Gilui Elikus, that's Simcha. Is there Gili Elikus on Rosh Hashanah? Well, what happened on Rosh Hashanah? Every Yontis, based on what happened, you can tell whether there's a Gili Elikus. So what happened on Shavuos? Sman Torah. Okay, that's a break in the normal Teva, Sukkos, and so on. Okay, that's Gili Elikus. What happened on Shavuos, on Rosh Hashanah? The Rebbe Shlomo created the world. That's not much Gili. I mean, what was before that? What was before that is much more Elikus. So the Rosh Hashanah began, day one was Chafei El, right? So what was day six? What's Rosh Hashanah? So there already was a world. What was the Chiddush of day six? A human being. That's a lot of Hester upon him. Because now, until day one, until Rosh Hashanah, there was no other Shitas in the world. All there was the Rabban Hashem Shita. There was bunny rabbits and squirrels, and that was it. Like, there was no one that had any other Deya. All of a sudden, now you have a human being with Bechir Chavshis, with his own opinions, his own perspective. Ain Lucha Hester Panu Gadlam Yizeh. So what type of Gilei Lukus is there? So we understand very well the Shita of Rav Naturoi going, how could there be a Mitzvah Simcha on Rosh Hashanah? The Mitzvah Simcha was never Basav Yayin anyway. The Mitzvah Simcha was Simcha Shebelev, which comes from Gilei Lukus. What type of Gilei Lukus is there in Rosh Hashanah? Adrabah. The Pasuk says, Tikku B'chadish Shofar B'kesel Yom Chagein. It's called some sort of Yontif that's Nister. It's a concealed Yontif. That's why there's a Din, right? What's the Midas HaDin? Whenever the Gilei Yalikus is a Midas of Chesed, what's Midas HaDin? Tzimtzum, restraint, holding back. So there's a Yontif, it's a Din. So Mela, there's no Simcha. That's Rav Naturoi going. So what's the other argument? Hakur Rav Nachshon going, all the Marma Kamis. What's interesting is, with all the Marma Kamis and all the proofs of Rav Nachshon going, there was never, like, it didn't just say openly V'samachta B'Rosh Hashanah, right? It was always... Because there's room for Rav Naturoi going. So what's Pshat Rav Nachshon going? So Chazal say like this. Chazal say by Lamashal, it's a Sifri in Parsha Vayikra, a number of places in Karbanas. Chazal quote the following thing, that the Rabbanu Shloilam, when a person brings a Karban, the Rabbanu Shloilam's response is, that Nachas Ruach Lefanai, that's the usual line that Chazal say, Nachas Ruach Lefanai, that this carbon that was brought brings me Nachas Ruach, Sha'amarti V'Nasa Ritzayni, that I said something and my will was fulfilled. What that means is as follows, and this is the strange dynamic between us and the Rabban Hashem. What makes us happy, what makes the Rabban Hashem happy, very often very different. What makes us happy is Gilei Elikus. Gilei Elikus, that's what makes us happy as Yidden. What makes the Rabban Hashem happy? The Rabban Hashem is not happy when he's Megala himself. What does he gain from that? He doesn't gain anything from that. What gives the Rabban Hashem Kivyachal Nachas Ruach, what he's decided to give him Nachas Ruach, is for there to be a human being with his own shitas and his own opinions. And has all the reasons in the world, him or her, have all the reasons in the world to do their own thing and to ignore what the Bari Olam says. But afal pikin, they're makabal themselves, but tachlis hapshitas vatimimas. With kabal somal chashamayim, I'm going to put my own personal desires, wants, needs to the side and do what my Creator wants of me. That gives the Rabban Hashem nachas ruach. Amarti v'nasa ritzayni. And when a person does a mitzvah, every mitzvah ultimately that a Jew does is fulfilling Hashem's will. But if there's other reasons why the Yid does it, if the Yid also experiences at the same time Gilei Elikus, then the Nasa Ritzayni element of the mitzvah is a little bit less obvious. So when the Yid does a mitzvah and it comes with benefits, whether benefits in this world, benefits in the next world, or even ruchnis, they get benefits and a sense of dveikus and a sense of... To a certain degree, one can make the argument there's not as much nachas ruach. Because the ikar nachas ruach the Rabbanu Shalom has is what? Is amarti v'nasa ritzayni, that all that happened was just my ratzin. L'mashal, by Har Sinai, when the Rabbanu Shalom gave us Torah, so Chazal, this machlok is between Rabbi Kiv and Rabbi Shmuel. It's machlok is between Rabbi Shmuel. Everyone agrees that the Jewish people responded to every mitzvah. We responded something. What did we respond? So this machlok is between Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds that when the Rabbanu Shalom told us about a mitzvah aseh, we responded, hen, yes, keep Shabbos. Yes, we will keep Shabbos. When Hashem told us a loy saseh, loy sirtzach, our response was, loy. Loy sirtzach, no, we won't kill. Al hen hen, al lav lav. Rabbi Kiva says not like that. Rabbi Kiva says, al hen hen, v'al lav hen. What's the meaning of that? So the answer is that there's two sides to a mitzvah. Is there a difference between an aseh and a loy saseh? Well, it depends. In terms of the gilui yalikus, the physical experience of an aseh and a loy saseh are different. So, in terms of the gilui yalikus that an neshama experiences, there's a difference between the gilui yalikus of an aseh and the gilui yalikus of a loy saseh. So if that's what the experience of a mitzvah is, then for a loy saseh you should respond one way, and for an aseh you respond a different way, because there's a fundamental difference between the two. That's Rabbi Shmuel. But Rabbi Kiva, who said his whole life, he's mitzvah al pasik zeh, masa yavir liyadav ha-kaymenu, all he wants to do is what? Is to dial Kiddush Hashem. And all he wants to do is to give nachas ruach to Rabbanu Shalom, amarati v'nasa ritzayni. So as far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, what's the fundamental difference between aseh and loy saseh? There's no difference. Either way, what am I doing? Whatever God says to do. With absolute kabbalas and malchus shemayim, it's mimus v'b'shitas, it's an afkamina. So al hen hen, al lav hen. The day of Rosh Hashanah is a day where now there's a possibility of amarati v'nasa ritzayni. This is the chiddush of Rosh Hashanah. And this is why Rosh Hashanah is such a confusing yontif. Because it's a yontif where if a person's looking for simchas, for the simcha of the created, to experience gilui elikus, bekesli yonchagenu. That's Rav Natoroigai. You're not going to find it. You might as well fast. But if you're trying to think of, is this a day of where the Rabbanu Shloilam is experiencing nachas ruach, of amarti v'nasa ritzayni, that's already a day of Rosh Hashanah. So the oimik of the sheet of Rav Nachshon Goyen and Rav Hai Goyen is maskim that there's two simchas over here. There's the simcha of the human being, there's the simcha of the neshama experiencing elikus down here, which is not by Rosh Hashanah. But on the other hand, the Bari Olam is experiencing great simcha on Rosh Hashanah, because now this is a day where finally he's able to have an arena in place where it could be Amarti V'Nasa Ritzayni. We say every day in davening, Yichvayit Hashem Lo'olam, Yismach Hashem B'Masav. The Rebbe Hashem should have simcha over his creation. When? How? When it's Amarti V'Nasa Ritzayni. So this is the oimik of Rav Nachshon and Rav Haigoin. What Rav Nachshon and Rav Haigoin are saying is that on Rosh Hashanah, a person should eat and drink and should be besimcha. Why? Because the avoid of Rosh Hashanah, says Rav Nachshon and Rav Haigoin, is to try to be a merkava, to try to embody and be besimcha along with the Rabbanu Shloilam. That's the nekuda. On yontif, it's not like that. Every yontif is different. That's why even Rav Nashangan agrees it doesn't say openly v'samachta bechagach on Rosh Hashanah, because it's a different inyan. The simcha on yontif, the simcha Pesach Shavuos and Sukkos, that's a neshama dika simcha. That's a neshama dika simcha experiencing gilui elikus. On Rosh Hashanah, that's not possible. That's not the avoda. What's the avoda of Rosh Hashanah? Says Rav Nashangan and Rav Haigain, the avoda of Rosh Hashanah is to try to allow the Rabbanu Shloilam simcha through you. And the Rabbanu Shalom Simcha doesn't come with Gilo Yalukus. The Rabbanu Shalom Simcha comes with there being a human being who wants to do XYZ, who's not doing XYZ, because the Rabbanu Shalom, to fulfill God's will. And the Rabbanu Shalom has nachas from that. And the Avoid of Rosh Hashanah, says Rav Haigoin and Nashagain, is to appreciate the fact that you're giving nachas ruach to the Rabbanu Shalom. And that nachas, the way you're giving the Rabbanu Shalom nachas ruach, maybe is not the way that you would have chosen to give it to yourself. But you embrace that role of the one that through whom amarti v'nasa ritzayni, and the meila that itself is the source of simcha, but it's not your simcha; it's the bari olam simcha. That's Rav Nachshon and Rav Haigoin. That's what they're saying. Now, this is why there's this interesting Kabbalah by Chachmi Ashkenaz, that if min hashamayim it was shown to a person that they had to fast in Rosh Hashanah because of Tainus Chalayim, It means their avoda for their whole life is what? Is to fast in Rosh Hashanah. Let's understand. The way of Rav Nachshon Goyen or Rav Hai Goyen is to live in such a way, ki'ilu you are embracing the Rabbanu Shlomo's experience. Right? I'll go a little bit deeper right now. That's what Nachshon Goyen and Rav Hai Goyen is saying. Is that in order to have Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, it means that you have to walk around feeling that the Rabbanu Shlomo is experiencing the world through you. And when you do mitzvahs with Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, that's Nachas Ruach. And if the Rabbanu Shlomo is Nachas Ruach, I'm celebrating with him. Now, what happens when you go? What's the difference between a world that was just created by the Rabbanu Shlomo versus a world that's channeling the Rabbanu Shlomo? Well, the difference is a world that's created by the Rabbanu Shlomo is not really so real. Doesn't have much of its own feet to stand on. But if you have a reality that's channeling the Rabbanu Shlomo, a world that's a Merkava, a world that's a chariot for Hashem, then all of a sudden that's a real stable reality. That's real. Ha'avis heinin ha'merkava. Chazal say about the Avis HaKadoshim that they were chariots of Hashem. That's why, no matter what, the Avis are not going anywhere, right? Chazal may say such a thing, that every generation there are tzaddikim that embody Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because that's what a Merkava is. So let's understand. If you are living, if your avoda and your neshama is Rav Nachshon or Rav Hai Goyen, if that's your avoda, to go through Rosh Hashanah and your avoda is to allow the Rabbanu Shlomo's nachas to be felt through you, then what does that mean about your life? What does that mean about the world that you experience? It's real. It has mamish kiyum. It's not a dream. What's the difference between, how do you define a dream, right? We say by the Yom Narayim, kechalom yof. Kechalom yof means a dream, a fleeting dream. All of Olam Hazah is like a dream, right? The Ishbitzer writes us in Parshas Vayeshev, Kol Olam Hazah Kachalayim, Atzarech Bezin. All life is like a dream that needs to be interpreted. Golas is described as a dream, right? Hayinu Kachalman. Why? Because it's not real. It doesn't have kiyum. It's unstable. It's by its very definition unstable. If Mishorish Nishmascha, from the root of your neshama, you're more of Nachshon or of Haigoyin, means that your avoda is to allow the Rabbanu Shlomo to be a merkava for Hashem, that the Rabbanu Shlomo is experienced through you, then that means that what your experience is real. It means that you're giving kiyum and stability to your world. Your world is not a dream. But if your Mishorish Neshama is more Rav Natiroigoyin, right? Your avoda is not to be a merkava for Hashem. The Rabbanu Shlomo has his nachas ruach, and you're not a merkava for that. Be'ezat tam shiyya, that's not your sharish haneshama. Then it means that the space that you're operating in lacks that anchor, that stability of the Rabbanu Shlomo's presence, of the Rabbanu Shlomo's. It's not the Rabbanu Shlomo's world; it's your world, kiviyachol, that was created by Hashem. Memela, the world that you experience is a chaloyim ra. It's a bad dream. So if Min HaShemayim was shown to a person through a Chalayim Ra that they have to fast in Rosh Hashanah, it means it was Nizgala to them that their Sharash and Hashem is coming from them to Roy going. And their Avoida is not to be Merkava for Hashem, but their Avoida is to have the world, their reality to be still more like a dream-like state, which means fleeting, not stable, not the Rabbanu Shalom's world, kiviyachol, and to do their Avoida, to give the Rabbanu Shalom Nachas. But if a person doesn't have such a chalayim ra, then we pass him like Rav Nachshon Goyen and Rav Hai Goyen, which means that your avoid is fakir. Your avoid is to live the Rabban Shem's nachas, to allow the Rabban Shem's nachas to come down into the world and to be a part of this reality. And when the Rabban Shem's nachas and the Rabban Shem's experience and his perspective is channeled through you in your reality, then reality moves from being a dream to actually real. So someone that doesn't have a bad dream Rosh Hashanah, it means the Rabbanu Shlomo was telling them, I want you to create your world as, I don't want you to live a world where it's kechalem yoif. I want it to be stable. You understand what I'm saying? So this is what's going on over here. So what comes out is that there's, now again, why would the Rabbanu Shlomo want there to be any yid that's Rav Atiroi Gain and not Rav Haigon or Rav Nachshon Gain? Amarti v'nasar etzayni. That's why, we don't know. The Rabbanu Shlomo makes neshamas in different ways. That's totally fine. So you have, what I'm saying now is just a little bit of a Pesach of appreciating the different types of Yidden and the different types of experiences that people have in Rosh Hashanah. So you have something. So again, halacha lemaisa, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't fast in Rosh Hashanah. Except if there was a tainus chalayim, like this halacha. Practically, people don't fast in Rosh Hashanah. But outside of fasting, in terms of the approach of Rosh Hashanah, we certainly still have these two approaches. There are some traditions and Yidden and Mesoras that their inner Rosh Hashanah is the pachat, the dread. And there's other Yidden and Neshamas that their avodah Rosh Hashanah is to celebrate the inner Rosh Hashanah. Who's right, who's wrong? There's no right, there's wrong. Everyone agrees to the same basic principles. If you're looking for the iris of Yontiv, that's the wrong time of year. Because that's not the avodah of Rosh Hashanah. It's not a time where you should be besimcha in your definition of simcha. And when I say your definition, I don't mean basar v'yayin. I mean like in ruchnias, in gilui lekus. It's not the avodah. The ikarid that's going on Rosh Hashanah is the simcha shalma, is the Rabbanu Shalom simcha of creating a space of amarati v'nasa ritzayini. So our avodah is to sort of embrace that role of bringing the Rabbanu Shalom nachas ruach of amarati v'nasa ritzayini. In that space, you have two dynamics. Either you have someone that misharish nishmasa from the root of their neshama, their avaida is to generate the nachas ruach, but the nachas ruach is felt above. And you have other neshamas that they're, and by them, the world is sort of is not turned into a God's experience. It's still the human being's experience, and God is experiencing his things, kivyachol, in a deep, you know, somewhere else, so to speak. And therefore, to them, the world is still kechalayim yov. Right? And those types of Yidden usually appreciate more of that part of the nusach of davening, right? And then you have other Yidden, where their sharash and neshama is more Rav Natiroi going or Rav Hai going, where their avayda is to actually bring the nachas ruach that the Rabban Hashem is feeling down to earth, that we should all feel pride in that, and actually feel the simcha and the joy and the satisfaction in the nachas ruach of amarti v'nasa ritzayini. And that generates a true joy on Rosh Hashanah, but it's not generated from the gilui lekus of sukkos and shavuos. It's not the same avoida. It's from amarti v'nasa ritzayini. So what does this mean, halacha l'maisa? So what this means, halacha l'maisa, is like this. Everyone, Bez Hashem, shouldn't have any bad dreams, right? The Gemara says that David HaMelech never had a good dream in his life. He never had a good dream in his life. It was that, you know, David HaMelech, okay, that's an avodah by itself. But Bez Hashem, we should have good dreams. We're not machped on Tainas Cholayim anymore so much nowadays. But what does it mean? So it means an avodah Hashem, that's how I started. It's going to be hard to talk about the pratim of what to think about in this nusach, and this tefillah, and so on. But just a certain general perspective. A general perspective is, One of the most important things that a person can focus on in Rosh Hashanah is to appreciate the mitzvahs that we do. And it sounds like very simplistic and very like chizik oriented and whatever. But this is the pnimius of it. Is the avodah of Rosh Hashanah is one of the essential avodahs of Rosh Hashanah is to make yourself a chariot and to allow yourself to be a vessel for the Rabban Shalom's nachas. And the Rabban Shalom's nachas is a yid that just does the right thing because it's the right thing to do, and the Rabban Hashem wants that to happen, and the Rabban Hashem appreciates that. So there's nothing wrong with us appreciating that. And that appreciation that we'll feel, and the satisfaction in knowing that we are the ones that are Nasa Ritzaynai, that will propel us further to be Makayim Nasa Ritzaynai even further. It's an essential thing, you know, in Likut Maran and Likut Halach, as Rav Nachman and Rasan talk about this a lot, that a person has to be to appreciate what a mitzvah is. To appreciate what a mitzvah is. You know, again, you'll know this by me already, that you try to say positive things about Jews, and a lot of times this time of year, you know, if God forbid someone's saying negative things about you, then that's definitely no good. But even about ourselves, you don't want to give, why should we give the prosecution more, you know, more material? You don't want to do that. So it's important for a yid to be machshiv their mitzvahs. But And so what's the usual thing? Oh, the mashal my mitzvahs. It wasn't such a big deal. Hagufa. So why do you do it if it wasn't such a big deal? I did it because the Rabban Hashem, you know, when you peel back the layers, ultimately it's because the Rabban Hashem wanted me to do it, so I did it. Oh, atazeh. Amarti v'nasa ritzayini.
That's the ikar, that's the thing.
When and that's what it means, that inyan of that to be a champion of amarti v'nasa ritzayni, that's my goal in life. And that's ultimately where my pleasure and satisfaction with this Hashem comes from. If a person's satisfaction in Avodas Hashem ultimately is purely rooted in the Gilui Elokus, in the Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, the experiences, not every day is Yontif. It doesn't work like that. And then and on a deeper level, I speak about this all the time. In Chassidus, Gilui Elokus needs a source, right? When you're talking about the light of Hashem, it needs a ma'or, it needs a source of light. So that source of light is not the Yontif. The source of light is Rosh Hashanah. The source of light is the Ratzon. When you have Avodas Hashem that's rooted in just the simple fundamental fact of Amarti V'Nasa Ritzayni, then from there will then emerge the Oiris of Yontif. So when you have a Rosh Hashanah and you have this sense of Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim, and ultimately you're happy with the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you the opportunity to simply do mitzvahs and to learn and to daven and to hear shofar. I get so many questions from all over the place. Like, you know, what kavanas to have by shofar? What are you? What kavanas do you have by shofar? What kabbalah sitter do you use for your davening? Amarti v'nasi ritzayni. You listen to shofar. What's the kavana? Yeah, be mahar and tshuva a little bit. It's good to be mahar v'tshuva. Wish that you want Mashiach to come. But don't forget the basic thing is, which is the Ribbono Shel Olam said to blow shofar. What does the Gemara say, right? We mentioned this the other time. The Gemara says, and again, I'll mention it again just to bring out the point. The Gemara says, Loma Taikin, Barash Hashanah. Why do we blow Barash Hashanah? Loma Taikin, why do you blow? And the Gemara interrupts the question. Loma Taikin? Rechmon Amar Tiku, the Ribbono Shel Olam said to blow. What type of question? So what does the Gemara respond? No. Give me a second. Loma Taikin, Mishal Ayel. Why do you blow with a ram's horn? Oh, a ram's horn, that's to remember Akedas Yitzchak. What type of weird, why interrupt the Gemara in the middle? The answer is the Gemara is highlighting, that's it. The inner Rosh Hashanah is Amarti V'Nasa Ritzayni. Even the inner of Akedas Yitzchak, what's Akedas Yitzchak? Akedas Yitzchak is a human sacrifice. It's a carbon of a human being. So the inner of a carbon is Amarti V'Nasa Ritzayni. So all of Yitzchak Avinu, the entire mitzias of Yitzchak Avinu was one of Amarti V'Nasa Ritzayni. That's all he wants. When Yitzchak Avinu says to Avram Avinu, like, tie me down stark, let's understand, we're talking about the Ovis HaKadoshim. They're not just talking about, when they say tie my hands and feet, they're talking about the part of them that's Gilui Elokus. You understand? When Yitzchak Avinu was saying to Avram Avinu, tie me down, and I want to be slaughtered on the Akedah in a tied down position, that's not just for his guf, that's for his neshama also. Like, I want this to be a pure Amarti V'Nasa Ritzayni moment. Right? Chazal say, where did Akedah Yitzchak come from? It's because he had a bris at 8 days. Yishmael had a bris at 13. Right? So Yishmael said to Yitzchak, oh, you know, I'm better than you, because you didn't have any choice. So Yitzchak Avinu said, you know, that's why Hashem said with the Akedah Yitzchak. So I'll prove that Yitzchak is greater. He'll be willing to sacrifice his whole body, not just one limb. What was Yishmael? So what's Hakab Pshat? What's Pshat that Yishmael was able to have a bris at 13? It's because Yishmael wasn't a small person. Yishmael was the son of Avram Avinu. There was Oiris going on over there. So when there's Oiris going on, it overwhelms the pain. So you don't feel anything. By a baby 8 days old, there's no Oiris. But there's also no pain because it's only 8 days old. Yitzchak by a kid is Yitzchak, what he's saying is, tie me down. I don't want to have any Oiris either. You understand? That's what it means to be tied down. It's not just tying down his body. Yitzchak Avinu's body it's irrelevant. What we were saying is that the neshama that in there's just like in Elokus, there's the essence of Elokus, there's Amarti V'Nasa Ritzayni, and then there's Gilui Elokus. So to the neshama, there's the essence of the neshama, which is a match with Amarti V'Nasa Ritzayni, and then there's a Gilui of the neshama. The Gilui of the neshama fills all the limbs. When the limbs of the body are held down, but when Yitzchak Avinu is saying that, what he's saying is, I turn off the valve Avram Avinu could do this, right? Turn off the valve of my nish. I don't want to feel any iris because I want to feel the experience of being slaughtered. Amarti v'nasir ritzayni. What did Avram Avinu? How did Hashem tell Avram Avinu? Hashem said, "Kach lecha as bincha as yichidcha asher ahavta as Yitzchak." So everyone says the Chazal say, "Kach lecha as bincha." I have two sons. As yichidcha, each one is a ben yachid. Asher ahavta, I love them both. As Yitzchak, get to the point. What does he have to say this whole thing? The answer is, you know what it means? God forbid, in such a situation, what would the normal thing be? Of course, Avram Avinu. First of all, like this, it's a big new scientist for Avram Avinu. Mainly Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak didn't hear it from Hashem. So he has to have a munis chachamim. But Avram Avinu heard it from the Rabbanu Shalom. What type of shayla? It's a pasha dezach. What's the big new sign? The answer is, what Hashem Yisroch was telling Avram Avinu is, when you do akeda, when someone were to go through that, what they would usually do is numb themselves. You're not going to be thinking that this is my ben yachid when such a thing happens. You're going to numb yourself. With stuff, you can numb yourself, or with iris. What Avram Avinu was being told is, kach lecha, and I want you to go with Akedas Yitzchak, and you should feel, this is bincha, esichidcha, asher ahavtas Yitzchak. And v'lech lecha l'eretz Maria, and that's how you do the Akedas Yitzchak. And Avram Avinu says, hineini, that's it. That's amarti v'nasir tzayni. The iris can numb a person from realizing that they're b'mekayim ratzon Hashem. And so that's what Avram Avinu was told. After all of this, now I see your Yerei Shemayim. Because until there's Yerei Shemayim, there's iris, it's madregas. Like we say all the time, madregas can be a distraction. Ultimately, it's about amarti v'nasir tzayni. How do you know if it's amarti v'nasir tzayni? Dafka, when there's no iris, that's when you know, and you still do it. That's amarti v'nasir tzayni. So all of Rosh Hashanah, the whole year, so it comes to the din v'cheshvan, so you know, and the other side is, look at these yidni, like Haman Russia, yishenim in mitzvahs, they're sleepwalking through mitzvahs. Adar v'adarabba, that's a hagufa, exactly. So it's a marti v'nasar etzayni. If we weren't sleepwalking through mitzvahs, and it was all iris and meichin, what type of shail is that? That's not a big deal. That's what this parsha is, at min tzav miyam kulchem. We'll speak about maybe on Shabbos, but like, when what's Moshe Rabbeinu saying in Parshas itself? They already had Har Sinai. So what's Atman itself? Now, love Rechab Bris. Hashem, what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Jewish people is like, you had a Mount Torah with Kailas and Brokim. But that's not only are you not always going to have Kailas and Brokim could distract you from the Nakuda Pnimis of what your Avodah is supposed to be, which is a Marti V'Nasir Tzayni. So to that, it's Atman Sav Yom Kulchem, Rosheichem, Shifteichem, all the way down to Chayt V'Yitzecha, Choyv Mimech. Let's understand. Again, when Moshe Rabbeinu is talking, he's not talking about jobs. You understand? We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu says Rosheichem, and every Jew hears Rosheichem, what's being triggered? The Rosheichem inside of them. And then when he says Ziknechem, what's being triggered? Ziknechem inside of them. And then all of a sudden, it goes all the way down to Chayt V'Yitzecha Tshayv Yimecha. He's not talking about all the guys in the back. Chayt V'Yitzecha Tshayv Yimecha, every single Yid, what Moshe Rabbeinu is now speaking to and triggering is Chayt V'Yitzecha Tshayv Yimecha inside of them. And to that, Moshe Rabbeinu says, all of you, cool. That's what he says. Atman Savi, Hayyim Kul Chem Lefnei Hashem Alekechem. It says Kul Chem. So what does he have to say? Rosheichem Shevteichem B'chulu. It's Kul Chem. The answer is, Kulchem is all of you, and what is in all of you? Rosheichem Shevteichem. Rosheichem Shevteichem is inside of every single Yid, and that's the aspect that's of Rechab Bris. That's the type, this is what I want to enter into the covenant now. Because I want your Yiddishkeit, says Moshe Rabbeinu, to be one that's rooted and anchored in the Marti V'Nasir Tzayni. This is why the Zohar says, whenever it says in Chumash Hayoyim, that means Rosh Hashanah, Yoyim B'Din Arava, the Zohar says. Atem, so Rashi deals with the question, what does it have to say, Atem Sam Hayoyim? Obviously, it's Hayyim. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is talking. What does it mean, Hayyim? So the answer, Zohar says, it means Rosh Hashanah. What does Atman Savim Hayyim Kulchem have to do with Rosh Hashanah? The answer is, that's the void of Rosh Hashanah. You come to Rosh Hashanah, you can have Iris and Madregas as Gevaldik, but all of that has to be generated from a sense of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and to appreciate the fact that you are being Makabal Malchus Shemayim on yourself. And that's a Gevaldik Gezach. That gives Rabbanu Shalom the ultimate nachas, and allow yourself to celebrate that. Allow yourself to feel good about that. That's a good thing. That's the simcha of Rosh Hashanah. That's the chiyuv according to Rav Nachshon Gaon, Rav Hai Gaon. That's what the says in pasuk. This is Pshuta Shel Mikra. What does Ezra Sofer say to them? He said, "Ichlu Mashmanim, Shesei Mamtagim, go eat food, go drink, celebrate." Ki Chedvas Hashem Him Uzchem. What does it mean? Ched, the simcha of Hashem is your strength. What does that mean? The simcha in Hashem, the simcha about Hashem. Chedvas Hashem means Hashem's simcha is your strength. That's Pshuta Shel Mikra. In other words, when you're eating and drinking on Yontif, Sukkis and so on, that's your simcha, which is holy. It's gavaldik. It's gili alikos. But on Rosh Hashanah, chedvas Hashem yimuzchem. What's your strength to overcome the din? Is by celebrating the by being the earthly expression of Hashem's nachas, and to give Hashem and to allow that to really be appreciated. So, a person has to spend time before Rosh Hashanah thinking about the things they have to work on. Thinking about their avodah, preparing themselves in their mind, what they're going to be davening for, how they're going to be approached. It's all very important. But you also have to spend time. You also have to spend time thinking about appreciating all the mitzvahs that you've done and all the nachas ruach that you've given the Rabbanu Shem, and to allow yourself to really celebrate that and to be happy about that. And that's not selfish. No. That's not ignoring the din. Adraba. That's what Ezra Sofer said. Chedvas Hashem him uzchem. The Rishonim quote a lashon. In some of the tshuvas, when they talk about this shaila of fasting Rosh Hashanah or not, so some of them quote, I think Rav Hai Gaon, I think the lashon of Rav Hai Gaon Taka was that he says that it's not good, it's lo yafa to fast, adarab a person should eat and drink, and he says, and this was the eitz of Parnose Yisrael HaRishayna, the early Jewish leaders. That's Ezra. That's he's referring to Ezra. But it's interesting that he calls them the parnosim. A parnes, means a leader, but a parnes usually, the word parnosa, right? It means someone that that supports you, right? So it's like he uses that term specifically, Rav Haigrein. It's because this is what they're saying. What Ezra Sofer was saying is that you have to fill yourself up and support yourself with Hashem's simcha. If you don't have Hashem simcha inside of you, then your world is still a chaloyim yof, because it's unstable. Only Hashem is stable. So if Hashem is in your world, that means it's stable. If it's not in your world, it's not stable. So parnosim means stability. The parnosim harishainim liyisrael told us chedves Hashem imuzchem. So we have to follow the lead and the hadrach of Ezra Sofer. He knew what he was talking about. So Ezra Sofer told them that the avodah is to allow yourselves to appreciate the nachas that you give the Rabbanu Shel Olam by kabbal samach shemayim, by doing mitzvahs, like Avraham Avinu, like Akedas Yitzchak, time it down, and that's it. And adrabba, and use that as motivation to makabal on yourselves more ol malach shemayim, and use that as motivation to kotev yom hadin, and use that also to see other yidden like that. You see other yidden, you say, oh, this guy, whenever you see someone doing something wrong, so adrabba, so you use that as an indication of like, vayis d'chayis, this guy doesn't have much iris in his life. And yet he does mitzvahs. So you have a guy that, he doesn't learn much, doesn't die, whatever, he's not experiencing so much iris. But l'maisa, he keeps Shabbos. So why is he keeping Shabbos? Because of iris. He doesn't have iris. So why is he keeping Shabbos? So the Rebbe Shem is getting a lot of nachas from that. It's oilam hafach reisi, right? So again, that's the way to think. And when you do that towards other yidden, that's exactly how it's looked at you. And that's what we all want. Hashem should bless us, Taka, that we should be able to experience Chedves Hashem Yimuzchem in a good way. All the Shavak, Sivak, Simatavak, Gugimesh, Liyar. B'yaskol Tzai Barachim, and every man, Amen. Shkoyah.